You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
I remember the experience when I was sitting in the office with my client, and my client kept talking about this divorce that had happened. And the divorce was so fresh, so painful, so difficult. She kept going over the details and over the details and over the details and telling me all the places that she thought things could have shifted or wished things had changed or somehow had made a difference. And I was listening to her intently, and I finally stopped her and I said, "Hey, just for a second, can you tell me a little bit more? Like, when did this divorce happen? How long ago is this, and what are we working towards?" And she stopped and she said, "Oh, I forgot to tell you that. This divorce was 20 years ago." I was in shock, because what I realized was this person was still anchored in what had happened back there. Now, before you say, "Gosh, 20 years ago and she's still stuck in that," remember that we often all get stuck in what happened. We often all get stuck in the midst of that rehash in our mind over and over and over. It's not just my client who was sitting in my office, but I do that. I anchor myself to past events, and you probably do the same thing. And in terms of a marriage crisis, this is when we find ourselves stuck in what's already happened. In the midst of a crisis, people are constantly asking, "What happened?" And they're trying to find a way around what happened. They're trying to find another alternate reality. Instead of wondering about what happened, they're trying to find a way of that not having happened, and an alternate around what's already been a crisis and what's gotten them in trouble. Now, there are some important elements in what happened. And the important element in that is understanding the dynamics behind the breakdown. But there's something that often happens when we start looking at that. Instead of being about the factuals, instead of looking at the helpfuls, instead of looking at the pieces of the puzzle as they came together in what happened, we start just generally asking that question repeatedly, "What happened?" I know, because as I sat with this woman, we were talking about what happened, and I was trying to gather some information about what happened, and she was reliving what had happened. And I want you to notice that difference between looking at what happened and constantly reliving what happened and anchoring yourself to that event, anchoring yourself to that stuck place. Because when we anchor ourselves to the past, we're going to be constantly dragged down by it. When I was teaching scuba a few years ago, I remember that we have this little experiment that we have people do where they dive to the bottom of the pool and grab a brick. It's a padded brick that they use in the swimming classes, and we ask them to bring it up. Now, out of the water, that brick probably weighs about 15, 20 pounds. But underwater, it's only like 5 or 6 pounds. And as you get closer to the surface, it feels a little heavier. What we're asking them to do is just bring it to the surface and drop it. What was interesting was watching this person. She dove down, she grabbed the brick, and made herself her way up to the surface. And as she got to the surface, she looked at me and she was paddling. And I said, "Great, great, drop it." But she held on. I said, no, "Drop the brick." And she held on. And I watched as she was struggling against that, because the brick was pulling her downward. And instead of doing the piece where she could just prove that she had held it, prove that she knew what had happened with that, which was all we wanted from her, she was anchoring herself to that brick. She would not let it go. And I said, "No, go ahead and drop it." And she held on to it. And I said, no, you don't have to hold it. Let go of it." And she actually tried to pick it out of the water. Well, as soon as she tried to pick the past out of the water, the brick out of the water, it was pushing her down further. And she was kicking madly, trying to keep up to the top. And I kept saying, "Drop the brick. You don't have to hold it." And so finally, I could tell that she was not going to let go. I jumped in the water, swam over to her, and pulled it from her hand and released it. And she popped to the surface and was able to tread water. And I said, "What were you doing?" Now, I didn't say that until we got her over to the side and she was holding onto the pool. I said, "What were you doing? You just needed to bring it up." And she said, "But I didn't want anybody else to have to go down for it to retrieve it." And I said, "But you weren't even bringing it over. You were anchored." And she said, "I know, I couldn't go any further. I was stuck with the weight." And I realized that that's what we all do. we anchor ourselves to some weight instead of letting it go, instead of learning the lesson. So the lesson in that class was simply this, that our weight changes when we're underwater and above water. And there was one other little lesson in that, which was you can get to the bottom of a 10-foot pool and grab that brick and bring it back up and you'll be okay. There were two pieces to that puzzle. That's all we wanted them to learn. But she didn't want to let go of the brick. Have you let go of the pain of what happened in your relationship? Have you let go of the difficult things of your relationship? Have you looked at it from a somewhat objective viewpoint, realized what's happened, and decided to let go so you can move forward? Because that's the shift that has to happen. You have to go from what happened to what now. What now brings us to the present moment and looks forward. What happened leaves us frozen in the past. You're not even really living even in that present moment when you do that. Now, let me remind you that it's entirely normal behavior to want to hold on and ask what happened. And it's entirely useless behavior to hold on and ask what happened. You do need to mine the past and look at what happened. And so let's talk a little bit about what you're wanting to look at. Look for the pattern in three different areas, and these are the same three areas that will be where you move toward as you work to restore your relationship. The first one is, how did you get disconnected? How did you get disconnected? Because when a marriage is in trouble, you can look back and see the places where the marriage was disconnecting. And maybe you thought that you were at a pause point. Maybe you thought that things were just at a pause in your relationship. That generally is one of the places where lots of couples find themselves in trouble. Maybe you had kids along the way and you went, okay, you know what? We got to do the parenting thing. We got to do the career launch thing. We've got to do all of that. But once we're back together, then we'll restart. The problem is there is no pause in a relationship. There's no place where you can put a stop point because relationships, any relationships, are either building or receding. They're either growing and expanding or they're shrinking and losing themselves. And that's the question you have is did we just kind of put it on pause or maybe you found yourself struggling too much with something else. And one of those something else's is maybe, and this is the second thing you're going to look at, maybe you grew stagnant. Maybe you both grew stagnant. And generally speaking, when people hit that adult point and they kind of settle down, we all have a tendency for stagnation. Now, the reason I would ask you to look at your stagnation and not your spouse's is because you can only change your place of stagnation. You can't change your spouse. And so when we're talking about how to save your relationship, you have to be working from what you do have control over, yourself. And so after we've looked at what happened with the disconnection, ask what happened with you about your stagnation. You can point the finger and say, well, my spouse grew stagnant. And I'll say, yes, that's right. And you're the only thing you can deal with. So how did you grow stagnant? That's an important thing to look back on because as you're moving forward, you're going to want to break that and start changing yourself and growing. So how did you grow stagnant? And then the third thing you want to look at is where did the we either fail to develop or get tossed aside? What is we? Well, we is that what you're building towards in a marriage. We are in this together. We're a team. We're a unit. We have become more than ourselves as individuals. When you start a relationship, you're you and me. I mean, we all start before a relationship. You're just me. And then you meet somebody and you go, wow, this person's really interesting. And I really want to get to know them. And as you do that, you're creating a sense of you and me. You and I enjoy doing things together. You and I like to go places together. You and I have care for each other. And then you say, I do. I promise to be with you the rest of our lives, no matter what happens in our lives, whether we're sick or whether we're healthy, whether we're rich or whether we're poor, whether it's a good day or whether it's a bad day, and I'm going to keep everybody away. That's the vows you make. And when you do that, something psychological can happen. And that is that you move into a place of being a team, a we. And if you don't get there, if you don't even know that's your goal, you and me will eventually become you versus me. That's just the nature of relationships and relating that if we don't make that jump to we, it's you versus me, and it begins to drag the relationship down. So one of the other places you want to learn is where you missed being a we. How did you not get to that place where you were joined together? And sometimes we can look at it in certain areas, like maybe it was struggles over money or over sex or maybe over parenting, where you can see that you weren't standing as a we. Now, we is not like we agree on everything, but we're bringing our best selves together to make the best decisions and best choices and best movement into the future that we can possibly be. That's the important part of that process of becoming a we. So here's what generally happens if you don't do that. If you're constantly looking back about what happened, what you're doing is really asking the question, not of what happened, really. That's covered in those three questions I just posed, but why? And why is fairly unanswerable. The what happened that's really a why are we here? Why did we get stuck? It's pretty unanswerable because it's based in our paradigms and perceptions. Your view of what happened back there and your spouse's view of what happened back there are probably going to be pretty different. It's based in your perceptions, your paradigms, your understanding of the world. And so asking why, which is what I often hear couples ask each other, why are we at this bad place? And both are pointing the finger at each other rather than finding a way of moving forward. And it's also really about trying to find a way that it could not have happened. That's that alternate reality I talk about, that sometimes people try to make sense of things that go wrong as a way of trying to find a way it didn't go wrong. It's almost as if we can find the straight line that's supposed to happen, and any deviation, we want to find a way to recreate it so that it didn't happen. I discovered this when I was a chaplain in a hospital and watching people through tragic events who are asking why. And what they were really trying to say was, how could this not have happened? How can we step aside this and have it not have happened, even though it's right in front of them? So in some ways, it's a place of denial, and it can be in any tragic circumstance. It can certainly be in the midst of a marriage crisis where you're trying to make it not have happened, to erase that. Those are fairly useless places to run. So once you've mined how the disconnection happened and how the stagnation happened and how you miss being a we, you've got to make a powerful shift. And the powerful shift is to say, what now? Where are we going? Remember that we always move in the direction of our thoughts. So if your thoughts are always to the past and the pain and the hurt, you'll always be anchored to that past, the pain, the hurt. You'll be trying to tread water with that heavy brick in your hand that's trying to pull you down to the bottom of the pool unless you let it go. We've got to move in a direction of a positive frame. And what now is full of possibilities. What happened is full of pain. What happened is full of the stuck places. And the difference between the place of pain and the place of possibilities is the difference between stuck and moving. So as you kind of think through this process, recognize that wherever your thoughts are going, it's pulling you along in that process. Do you want to go towards the hurtful past, to the pain of that past, or to the potential and possibility of the future? That's what we're trying to get to. What is the potential and the possibility within your relationship? Not where it was stuck back there, but where you want to move it towards. So what now? Well, the first thing I would say for you is to move toward your better self. Focus on how you can show up the best. Focus how you can work on that forgiveness process. And remember, forgiveness is not about letting someone off the hook. Forgiveness is not about tossing what happened aside. It's about saying, I've got to understand this differently so I'm not captured by it. And by the way, forgiveness is not just about the other person. There's a forgiving process to yourself, of how you move forward with forgiveness, not just for the other person, but how you say to yourself, I forgive myself for the places I've missed, and I'm going to improve upon that. Because remember, when you forgive yourself, you're deciding to live differently, to move differently. When you ask for forgiveness from somebody else, you're deciding to move differently. Part of the forgiving process, when you're getting it from somebody else or giving it to yourself, is making a shift towards the future. It's not continuing to relive that, but to move towards something new. And the second place you want to look is for your marriage. Where is the place you want to move toward for your better relationship? Where are the places that you want things to shift? Now, this is one of those things that I really find that most people don't recognize. It's like there's this secret about marriage that's not like it's a hidden secret as much as people just don't acknowledge that the purpose of a marriage is moving towards being a we. In fact, I will tell you, in my clinical time, when a couple stumbled upon and became a we, I never saw them at a divorce process. That doesn't mean they didn't have difficulties. They might come to see me to clear some stuff out, to make sure that as they're moving forward, they've opted on some better ways of responding to each other. So it's not as if becoming a we eliminates all problems, but it gives you a basis from which to solve all problems. It gives you a base. It's a renegotiation. When my wife and I have had difficulties, one of our starting points in trying to figure out where to go is recognizing we're in this for life. And if you're in it for life, how do you negotiate differently? How do you work through difficulties differently? You can't brush them under the rug and you can't blow up about them. You have to find a way of dealing with them and healing. The dealing and the healing is how you move forward in that process. You have to find a way of dealing with where to go. How do you deal with this conflict and solve it? How do you find a place where you do that? And then how do you heal from the hurts that come through that process of negotiation? That's the process that when you're considering the marriage, how you move towards a better relationship. So that's what you're aiming for as you're thinking about this. Where do we move towards? Now, you may go, wait, I have no idea what you're talking about building this we. It's not a mystery, but it does take a little bit of time to explain and to kind of flesh out. And that's part of why I put it as such a big piece of my Save the Marriage system, because my belief is if you don't know the target, if you don't know what you're trying to move towards, there's no way you're going to get there. Here you are at your wedding and they pat you on the back and you go through a ceremony that sometimes is 20 minutes, 30 minutes long, and then you're out the door. Husband and wife and Mr. and Mrs. or however it's phrased, and off you go, and you're supposed to head down the road and stumble through how to do it. We don't give a rule book. We don't give even direction. And so I decided I had to really expound upon that and expand on how people understand marriage, and that's probably why I started the process of creating the Save the Marriage process, so that people know what they're aiming towards, and then we give them a way of getting there. So if you say, I have no idea how to even think about that, then you have a clue there that you might need to grab the Save the Marriage system. You can find that at savethemarriage.com. If you already have it, make sure that you go through the core module, Save the Marriage, and understand what you're truly aiming for. And then it becomes a lot easier. Which brings us to the last piece of this, which is the exercise to help you make the shift. This will make it a lot easier to make the shift from what happened to what now. But you need to understand that basic piece of what we're talking about being a we. So this is the ideal life exercise. Set aside about 20 minutes on two different occasions. And I want you in the first 20 minutes to write down your ideal life. Just what would life be like on a daily basis? I'm not talking about a grand scheme where you're telling me what your net worth or is anything like that, because a lot of times we pick these external things. My ideal life is I'd have this really cool car and this really cool house and a lot of money in the bank and lots of toys. That's not going to get you anywhere. But the ideal life of who you want to be, not what you want to have, but who you want to be. Just spend about 20 minutes writing down your ideal life. What would it look like when you got up in the morning? What would you be doing? You can talk about the surroundings around you, the environment around you. What would it be like to be in that ideal life? If you just had a magic wand and said, poof, I am in that ideal life, what would it look like? Write that down for about 20 minutes, and I want you to write it in the present tense, not I could have or I want to have, but I am living this life. And describe that for 20 minutes. And then at another time, after you set that aside, I want you to do the same about your relationship. What would your marriage look like? What would your marriage feel like? What would others look from the outside? And describe that as that place of being a we. If you aren't clear about that, make sure you read the material in the Save the Marriage system and then come back and write that ideal marriage and spend about 20 minutes doing that. Remember, it is still a present tense. And the reason is because that triggers some things in our brain when we do that present tense. And so the 20 minutes each, so you're basically just giving up 40 minutes of your time, 20 minutes at a time, twice. Maybe it's a coffee break or whatever, an evening thing, but just write down your ideal life as yourself and in your marriage. And what you just want to do is every now and then pull it out and read. And what you'll notice is that as you're doing that, you naturally, your brain begins to help you make decisions that move you in the direction of your ideal life because you've made a shift. It's not magic. It's just the way you rewire your brain. If you're stuck on what happened, it's time to make a shift to what now. Writing it in the present tense begins that process. If this has been helpful, I would love it if you would share this. Right below, there are some ways of sharing on social media if you're on the website, and that would be a great way of just helping with that. If you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher, one of the things you can really do that would help is to leave a review. I know it takes a few steps to do that, but to leave a review of the podcast so others can find this. If you really enjoy this process, I'm hoping that others will find it too, because I know when you're in the midst of a crisis, one of the things you need is to find some water when you're thirsty, for someone to point out there's clean water to drink, and then you can begin the process. So if you can share this any way you can, that would be so helpful. Use the social media buttons on the website. If you're listening by iTunes or Stitcher, please go in and leave a review. And I'd love to hear about other ideas you might have. You can just send them to podcast@savethemarriage.com. We're here to help. I'm here to help. And I wish you the best as you continue to work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.